I wonder what 514 sound could possibly be surprising us with next week. Man, is that what I look like? Oh gosh, I'm so sorry to Janet, my girlfriend. That's a poor individual right there. OH! Yeah, oh man. There was a moment yesterday, guys, where I did not think I would be here today. I legitimately thought I was going to have a heart attack. I thought Joel was going to have to come and he was going to have to do this message. After he missed that second field goal, my dog had to take me for a walk because I was, whew, but praise the Lord, I'm here. You guys are welcome. Nice response. I like this. Okay, making me feel good about myself. Guys, a little bit about me. When I was younger, I had a hard time letting things go. And those of you that know me know that I still struggle with this, but when I was younger, it was a lot more apparent. And as I was preparing for this message, I was reminded of a story that happened when I was in third grade, okay? So this is a long time ago that this happened, and I remember it like it was yesterday. Because I have a hard time letting things go. Is anyone else like that out here? Yeah, you have a hard time letting things go? It's all right. We can be vulnerable. Perfect. All right. And so I remember being in third grade, and I was on the playground, and I'm a dreamer, right? I was daydreaming. I was just, you know, in my own little world. Me and my buddies were probably imagining we were like Batman and like all, you know, all his crew and the bad guys. And this story, okay, it gets a little risque. I hope that's okay. I'm just warning everybody preemptively. I can't believe I'm going to say this in church, but it's okay. I just want to preface, I did not say this word. I was called this word, okay? We all with me? Okay, so I was just in La La Land, and this girl comes up out of nowhere, and she looks me dead in the eye. Oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. You guys ready for it? Is the suspense there? Alfred Hitchcock, Master of Suspense, anyone? Yeah? All right, so she was there. She looks me dead in the eye, and she called me a butthead. That's not what you were expecting me to say, was it? No, but in third grade, that was like the worst. Do you guys remember that? When someone came up to you and called you a butthead, and you're like, oh, God, here's your knife back, right? That was the knife I pulled out. Yeah, it's fine. But I was so upset, and I can't tell you why I was upset. Probably had my feelings hurt, but I was so mad, and my mom reminded me of this in between the services. So if first service did not get this part of the story, my teacher decided to sit me next to this girl in class, and I went up to my teacher and said, I'm so sorry, but I can't sit next to this girl because she called me a butthead. And my teacher said, Daniel, I think Jesus would want you to forgive this girl. And because she was a Christian, right? And I knew that that was kind of right, but I was still mad about it. So after she called me a butthead, I was just stewing all day. It was this big tension in my chest. And I went home, and my mom was like, Daniel, how was your day? And I said, let me tell you about my day, Mom. And I put my book bag in the chair in my drop spot. And I was like, so-and-so called me a butthead. And she said, well, were you being a butthead? And I thought, no, I was not. I was just imagining, I was in my own little world, and she came up out of nowhere and called me a butthead. Mom was like, all right, well, if you know you're not a butthead, dude, you just got to get over it. But I thought, how on earth could anyone think that that's an okay thing to do, right? How on earth could anyone subscribe to a belief system that it's okay to just go up and say whatever you want to people, right? I was offended. I was hurt. And then I remembered the golden rule. The golden rule. And if you guys remember the golden rule, I need you to repeat it or say it with me as I say it. I'm a children's guy, so I'm going to ask for a lot of interaction, okay? So the golden rule is treat others the way you want to be treated, right? And I thought to myself, immediately looking for the gray area, I said, she must not want to be treated very well. She set the standard. This girl does not want to be treated very well because she didn't treat me very well. I'm going to treat other people well, but she's making up the rules here. So I might as well call her a butthead next time I see her. Right? I might as well call her a butthead. I can't believe I'm saying butthead this many times in church. And then I thought, you know what? She's on my list. You know, she must not be a very good person. She must be a flawed person to think that that's okay to just go ahead and do that. If she needs help with her homework, I'm probably not going to help her. Or if she's, you know, if she's struggling at her locker or needs to borrow a book, I don't think I can help her. That's probably what she deserves for being so rude to me. And I started asking myself the question, who is my neighbor? Because I remembered in Sunday school it was love your neighbor as yourself, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And I started thinking, well, is this girl really my neighbor? Because who's my neighbor anyway, right? I've got an elderly couple that lives on one side, another elderly couple on the other side. There's that single woman that lives across the street. Then I got a couple buddies, and then my grandparents, right? Those are my neighbors. The people on my basketball team, those are my neighbors. The people who don't call people buttheads, those are my neighbors. But is this girl my neighbor? Is this girl my neighbor? Do I have to love her? Nah, she's like four blocks away. I don't have to treat her. She's not my neighbor, right? She's like four blocks away. And I think if we're honest, we all ask ourselves this question. Who is my neighbor? We live in a divisive time, don't we? We live in a time where our country is divided, and we see it, and we have more access to more people's opinions than we've ever had before. Get on social media, get on Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram. We're all learning about who people voted for, what their politics are, what movies they like, what music they like, what their thoughts on God are. And we ask ourselves, well, who is my neighbor? I don't think this person's my neighbor because they voted for so-and-so. And we come up with parameters on our own, right? It's like, you know, this person, we disagree here, but I can be a neighbor to them. But if they were to ever do this, no, they can't be my neighbor anymore. They can't be my neighbor. Or this person said this in public? Oh, they're not my neighbor, right, God? Right? And we scratch people off our list. And I'm not bringing this to you because I figured this out. I'm bringing this to you because I'm very bad at this. And I'm tired of getting it wrong. Because when we ask, who is my neighbor, what we're actually asking is far more dangerous. The question that we are actually saying, even though we may say, who is my neighbor, what we are actually saying is, who do I have to love? We say, are they my neighbor? I don't think they're my neighbor. I'm saying, am I supposed to love them? Because I don't think I can love that person. I don't think I can love that person. I don't think I can love the person who agrees with this principle. I don't think I can love the person who says this thing in public. I don't think that I can love the person who voted for this, who watches this, who listens to this. Because we hear, love your neighbor as yourself. And we're thinking, I don't know. I don't know if I can do that. God, I can't love them the way that I'm supposed to. So is it possible that they're not my neighbor? Is it possible that they're not my neighbor? And this is a dangerous question. This is the kind of question that if you look at the divide in our country, if you look at the tension in our relationships, I think we could trace it back to this. Who do I have to love? Who do I have to love? And so think about it, right? This girl was on my list. Who is on your list? Think about those people. And I may be on some of your guys' list. I don't know. It's very possible. Who's on your list? You know, that example that I brought up in the beginning, it's funny because, like, someone called me a butthead, and I got so offended by it because I was some, you know, indignant third grader who thought he knew all about morality, right? But there's a bunch of other stories that I could have told and that I was really hurt. There was a college roommate that did some things, and man, those wounds, they sunk deep. And I had to eat some crow this week as I was going through this message because I realized that, you know, if you had asked me about it, I would have told you I had forgiven that person. I would have said I wasn't mad about it. But in reality, my behavior shifted because I realized something this week. I realized that I was asking, do I have to love this person? They've wronged me. They've done something that I don't agree with. And you know what my tactic was? I just avoided them. I stopped seeing them because I knew that I couldn't love that person the way that God asked me to. I couldn't love that person like I do myself. And so I just avoided them. So think about it. Who's on your list? Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's that old friend. It's that old roommate. Let's think about that person. Let's say that they're on the side of the road and they've got a flat tire. We're probably not going to stop if we're being honest. And that's okay to be honest. This is church. We can be honest here, right? I probably wouldn't stop for a bunch of people on my list. Because they deserved it, right? Who's my neighbor anyway? Who do I have to love? It would be like if the Titanic, and I know this is an extreme example, so hang with me. The Titanic, right, it sunk, and Rose, her name is Rose. I never saw the movie. I know that's sacrilege, whatever. Rose was floating there just in the water, and the lifeboat's coming by. It's just like going by, and it says, "Hey, Rose, you from the UK?" "You are? Okay, hop on in." Going by the next person. "Hey, are you Irish?" "Ah, fresh out of room." "Hey, do you recycle?" "You don't. Hop on in." "Yeah, okay." "Hey, I know, it's kind of cheesy. Hey, did you vote Democrat this year?" "Oh, okay, there's room." Or it would be like parents, if you were bringing your kids back there and I was standing there and I was thinking, "Oh, I don't like the color of this kid's sweatshirt. He's not allowed to come back and hear this important message. This kid has snot in his nose." "Nope, not allowed." But we do this all the time. And we ask ourselves, who do we have to love? We create these parameters. Ask ourselves, who do we have to love? But what we don't realize is what that question does is it says more about us than it says about the people on our list. Because a who mentality, what it says about me, says that I'm looking for the loophole. I'm trying to find the gray area. I'm trying to find the wiggle room. God, I can't love this person the way that I'm supposed to, the way that you've called me to, the way that you do. So can you excuse me here? Because I don't think that they're my neighbor. But in reality, we're just looking for that gray area. We're looking for the path of least resistance, right? The next thing that a who mentality, who do I have to love, says about me is it says I think way too highly of myself. It says that I am the authority here. I'm the authority on morality. And if you wrong me, I get to decide whether or not you're my neighbor. It comes from a pride issue. It comes from an ego. Oh my gosh, I can't believe you've done that to me. I can't believe you've offended me. And we wear that offense like a badge of honor. I do this way too often. I think way too highly of myself. The third thing is my love is something that has to be earned. My love is something that has to be earned. My love is so special and all of you guys want it, right? Wrong. Right? There's conditions to it. There's prerequisites. Hey, you got to jump through these hoops. My neighbor, you can't wrong me. Three strikes, you're out. The fourth thing, oh, there we go. Yep. The fourth thing is I misunderstand what happened on the cross. You see, because there was not some addition to the Bible that we just forgot where it says, Jesus came to die for these people, right? And he listed off, and it's like Daniel and Joel and Nick and Kevin and all these people. And it's like, but Jesus didn't come and die for these people. No, Jesus came and shed his blood on a cross so that the murderers, the broken people, the prideful people, the people who say that, who do I have to love? Jesus came to die for those people. And when Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood on the cross, he came to abolish this mentality. He came to abolish the who do I have to love theology. And I'm not bringing this to you guys today at 514 Church to say that I've figured it out. I'm tired of asking the wrong question. Are you? Because we should be. Because if we are doing this, we forget what Christ did on the cross. And there are a group of broken people who are afraid to come to church because of Christians who act this way. And I'm tired of getting it wrong. I'm tired of asking the wrong question, and I want to get it right. Bob Goff says, we make loving people way more complicated than Jesus did. Jesus just did it. And we have all these parameters, and we have all these, prereqs that people have to go through in order to think that they're worthy of our love. And that's just not the case. That's just not what Jesus did. And we're going to learn about a guy who asked the wrong question. And Jesus came and he took that question and he flipped it on its head and he gave us the right question. You guys ready for this? Yeah, Daniel, we're ready for it. Cool. Oh, yeah, all right, let's go. Come on, let's get fired up. 514, Ohio State won. We're probably going to the playoff. Let's go. We're going to look in Luke. Let's hear it. All right. Yeah, remember, I'm the kids guy. All right, Luke 10, 25 through 37. If you have your Bibles, open them up. If not, get on your phones. If not, it's on the screen. All right? Just then, gosh, they're never going to let me up here again. Just then, a religion scholar stood up with a question to test Jesus. Never a good idea. Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life? What do I need to do to get eternal life? Jesus answered, well, what's written in God's law? How have you interpreted it? He said, right, that you love the Lord your God with all your passion and prayer and muscle and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. Right, and we all, this man is in the same situation that we are. We all know the law. We have all heard this. Even if you're not familiar with church, you know, man, I should probably treat my neighbor like I want to be treated, right? The golden rule, like I treat myself. I should treat my neighbor like that. And Jesus is like, hey, dude, that's a solid answer, man. Good answer. Now go out and do it. That's so simple to Jesus, right? But we make it way more complicated. And the man said, it says, looking for a loophole. He asked, and just how would you define neighbor? Dude. Who do I have to love, Jesus? Because guess what? I know that there are people I cannot love the way you're asking me to. Looking for a loophole. Who do I have to love? And Jesus answered the question by telling a story. It says, there was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. And now, guys, this was like an 18-mile hike, and it was treacherous, and it was dangerous. And it was like hilly, and there were like thieves and robbers. It was notorious for being a really dangerous path, right? And so a man was traveling, and on his way, he was attacked by the robbers. They took his clothes, they beat him up, and they went off, leaving him half dead. Okay, this is kind of a grim story, Jesus. Where are you going with this, right? Luckily, a priest was on his way down. Oh, whew. Thank goodness a religious man was walking by this broken, bloodied man, right? This was a man who understood the law. This was a man who knew who God was. He's probably going to help him out, right? Let's see what he does. But when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Who do I have to love? Here's a broken, bloodied, discarded human being who was also Jewish. So the Jewish priest and the Jewish man were of the same kind. They were neighbors. They believed the same things. There was zero reason that the religious man would have walked to the other side to avoid the broken, discarded human being. But that's what he did. You know why? Because he was asking, who do I have to love? Someone else is going to love this guy. I don't know this guy. He's obviously done something wrong to deserve that. Who do I have to love? So then a Levite religious man showed up, and he also avoided the injured man. These are religious people. These are people who understand the law. Treat your neighbor as you do yourself. They're religious men. They understand the law, and yet they don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do it because they're so busy asking, who do I have to love? They're picking and choosing. They're making their own parameters. They're asking the wrong question. Jesus goes on, a Samaritan. This word's important. This distinction is important because the Samaritan were considered half-breeds. They were considered second-class citizens. They were inbred, idolaters, pagans, the lowest of the low, discarded human beings. And he came traveling on the road. When he saw the man's condition, his heart went out to him. Other translations said he had compassion for the man. The man, if roles were reversed, If he was the broken, bloodied man, the Jewish man would not have stopped because he was second class. He was lowest of the low. He was on this man's list. And he didn't say, who do I have to love? Instead, his heart was filled with compassion for the broken, bloody, discarded human being on the side of the road. And I'm not doing this to patronize you, but the definition of compassion really helped me go. So I'm not suggesting you don't know, but look at this. A feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for one another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. Accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. The two religious men acknowledged that this man was suffering and had some misfortune. But the difference between them and the Samaritan is the Samaritan felt that in his chest and he had a strong desire to alleviate this man's suffering. Do we have compassion for the broken, bloodied, discarded people in our society that we walk by every day? The broken people, the hurting people. Rich Halcombe was on this stage about a month ago, and he said that 9 out of 10 people in Columbus are lost and without Christ. Do we have compassion for the broken people? Are we getting on social media and we seeing the hurt? And we're saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe they think like that. Not to quote Dave Chappelle, but he said, get a job, Grouch. Get over it, Grouch. I called butthead and quoted Dave Chappelle in church. There we go. Take it. Get a job, Grouch. That's what our society does. We look at the broken, discarded human beings, and we say, you know what? I don't know if you're my neighbor. Because we're looking for the loophole. And what would happen to that 90% of Columbus that is without God if we as a church stopped asking the wrong question and started having compassion for the people who aren't here? There are empty chairs in here. And there are people who are hurting. I was in college and I was a theater major at a liberal arts school. And one of the most unpopular things that you can be as a theater major in a liberal arts school is a Christian. Because my classmates were comprised of the disenfranchised, the broken, the hurting people. And a lot of classes turned into a 45-minute session bashing Christians. Because here were a group of people who had been hurt by a bunch of people asking the wrong question. And I sat there and I listened to it. And my heart broke. Because I knew that I was responsible for asking the wrong question. I was asking, who do I have to love? And here are a group of people who have been so discarded by Christians who claim to know God, and they may never come to church because we're asking the wrong question. And I'm tired of asking the wrong question, guys. I'm going to get this wrong more than I get it right, but I'm tired of asking the wrong question, and I hope you guys are. And I knew that even though I didn't personally hurt these people, I didn't personally do that, I was thinking of all the other people on my list that I was asking the wrong question. God, do I have to love this person? Let's see what the Samaritan did. His heart went out to him. He gave him first aid. He disinfected and bandaged his wounds. And then he lifted him onto his donkey and led him to an inn and made him comfortable. I love the visual here. He sees this broken, discarded human being, people that most other people walked by, someone who wouldn't give him the same treatment, and he didn't care about it. He had compassion for him. And so he tended to his wounds. He listened to the hurt. He did what was necessary. He picked him up. He put him on his donkey, and he walked 18 miles, and he walked the broken man towards healing. Are we going to pick up the broken people, or are we going to walk them towards healing? Are we going to take them by the hand and say, hey, I know a place where you can get loved. I know a place with people that have compassion for you. He took him to an inn and he made him comfortable. In the morning, he took out 2 silver coins and he gave them to the innkeeper. He said, take good care of him. He gave him 2 denarii, right? And so a denarius was a coin and it was worth about a day's wage. So this man who only had 2 days' wage on him Who knows what he needed that for? Gave it up so a broken, bloodied man could get the healing he needed. And he said, take it. 2 days worth of income this man gave up so that someone else could experience healing. If it cost any more, put it on my bill. I'll pay you on the way back. Jesus says, what do you think? Which of these three became a neighbor to the man attacked by the robbers? The man who was asking the wrong question said, the one who treated him kindly. Jesus said, go and do the same. Guys, it's time to change our question. I'm tired of asking, who do I have to love? I want to start asking, how do I love them? Because we're all on a journey, aren't we? We're at A, we're going to B, and we're trying to figure it out in between. We've got 18 miles to figure this out. Whatever the Samaritan did, it wasn't special. He didn't reinvent the wheel on loving people. He did whatever was necessary. He saw what he needed to do in the moment, and he acted. And so maybe we're not called to do something as radical as that. Maybe we're called to have a conversation with somebody. Maybe we're called to forgive that college roommate or forgive that family member. Maybe we're called to cross off people on our list. Because Christ came to abolish the who do I have to love theology. And if we start thinking about how do I love them, this is what it says. It says, I'll do whatever it takes. I'm not going to look for the loophole. I'm going to do whatever's necessary in my journey to see that the broken people along the way get the love they need. That the broken people along the way understand how Christ views them. Because if we're not interacting with people and they're walking away not knowing how Jesus Christ views them, we're doing something wrong. Amen? It says there is no hierarchy. I'm not better than you. I've done a lot of messed up stuff, guys. I'm no better than anyone in this room. I've done a lot of really disgusting stuff, stuff that I'm ashamed of. There's no hierarchy. God's not keeping a list. The how mentality says there are no conditions to my love. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to go to all these classes. You don't have to, there's no strike rule. I'm going to love you how Jesus calls me to love you. The cross sets the tone. What Jesus Christ did on the cross should pave the way for how we treat other people. I don't care if you're poor, I don't care if you're rich, I don't care if you're black, I don't care if you're white, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat, if your family is a Costco family or if your family is a Sam's Club family, it doesn't matter. On your journey, it's not about who, it's about how. Say this with me, guys. On your journey, it's not about who, it's about how. Let's change our question, guys. Let's change the question. You know, this week I brought this to our staff and we started talking just about stories. And Nikki Howard, part of her journey every Sunday is to go to Kroger. And if you guys know me, the grocery store, that sounds like the worst possible fate. Having to go to Kroger, the grocery store, is the worst place in the world to me. It's the most stressful. There are no rules in grocery stores. I'm going to go on a rant for a couple seconds here. There are no rules. There's no social awareness at the grocery store. People are just walking their carts right down the middle of the aisle. And if you're one of these people, God loves you and I do too. But you're like right down in the middle of the aisle. And I was like, I'm trying to get around. I need to get out of here. I don't want to be here. And so it would have been so easy for Nikki to just be like, you know what? I got to go to work. I got stuff to do. I got things I need to get. It would have been so easy for her to go to just the self-checkout line. But she was not asking, who do I have to love? She was asking, how do I love them? And so she went through the line. And every Sunday, she went through the same line. And every Sunday, she met the same cashier. And she developed a relationship. And they talked about faith. And they talked about families. And they talked about things in their life. And 2 weeks ago, she noticed that this lady was not there. Something wasn't right. And so she asked somebody. And they said, oh my gosh, she had a heart attack. And as far as we know, she doesn't have any family around. And if Nikki was asking, who do I have to love? She would have gone to the self-checkout. But instead, she was asking, how do I love this person? She brought this to our staff. Our staff has been praying. the relationship is going to continue to grow because she's going to continue to go to Kroger. She's going to continue to pour into this woman. And who knows how God is going to work in that situation. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of getting this wrong. I'm tired of asking the question, who do I have to love? I'm tired of having a list of people who haven't earned my love. And what would it look like in our homes? What would Columbus look like? What would our workplaces look like? What would our families look like if we changed our question? Because it's not about who. It's about how. Let's pray. God, we love you. Thank you for not holding us to a mentality of who are you supposed to love? Because we wouldn't measure up. We wouldn't make the cut. God, thank you for not keeping a list. God, I pray for change in my life. I pray for change in the lives in this room, that people would experience a shift in thought, a question change, that we would stop looking at who do we have to love and stop looking for the loophole, and our hearts would change and we would start loving people the way that you do. God, that you would change our perspective, that you would change our mindsets, that on our journey, we would look for people to impact. We would look for people to do whatever it takes to show them how you see them. God, I pray for a sacrificial love in our church. I pray that Columbus would experience that love, that people who had been discarded and people who have broken would come to experience your love, because people in this room stopped asking, who do we have to love? Started asking how we love them. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Thanks, guys.